Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So a little over 4 years ago, you called me to be your pastor. And as part of that call, we had this agreement that we signed off together called a covenant of redevelopment. And some of you remember this thing. How many remember that, actually? Wow, that's a lot of you, unless you're just bowing to peer pressure. For those of you who don't or who didn't know about it, that's fine. What the covenant was an agreement, an understanding, if you will, between myself as the newly called pastor, between your council leadership of the congregation, between the congregation itself, and between the larger church, the synod, concerning where my energies would be focused, what it meant to be a congregation in redevelopment. Is this kind of making sense-ish? It talked a lot about things like the congregation picking up a lot of visitation, for example, which is something that we've definitely been doing the last few years, and I am eternally grateful for that. I know I've said this before, but I cannot overstate how much I appreciate those of you who deliberately go out and visit those who can't be here. You have saved my bacon on so many occasions, and I am eternally grateful for that. It talked a lot about how we would use resources, how we would approach ministry together, how we would engage in conversation about what it meant to redevelop, how we would discern where God was calling us. Having talked to some pastoral colleagues who are in calls that didn't do that, what seemed to me to be such a small thing in some ways, I'm realizing that it was incredibly helpful. A side note, you remember Pastor Dick Wendt? I am so thankful for him. Oh my goodness. I was just recently talking to a colleague who shall remain nameless, but this individual is in a call that is unofficially in redevelopment. And my heart goes out to them because this person did not have someone like Pastor Dick there to help set the tone and have some of those hard conversations. The more that I am here with you, the more I realize how much easier he made my life. And I am eternally grateful to him for that as well. Well, something was recently pointed out to me that I am still wrestling with. It was something about my identification as a pastor. I was having a conversation with someone, and I think I'm going to leave this person nameless. A few of you know who it is, because I think we had conversation about it at one point. But I was having this conversation, and I don't remember exactly how it was brought up, but this person looked me in the eye and said, "But the thing is, you need to realize you're not a redeveloper anymore. The congregation has redeveloped." Now, what they meant by that was not that the work is done. And don't worry, this is not me saying I'm leaving. I'm not. I did not go through this last year just to walk away as things get fun. But the point they were making to me was that the sort of focus and energy and where things were during that period of intentional redevelopment, things have shifted. Maybe you notice we've moved. Things are different. And what we are doing now is less an establishment of working through issues of the past into the present. And now we are looking at the present into the future. It's actually pretty exciting. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, see, you even say amen on things like that. It's not so much redevelopment as it is development. It's crazy. It's exciting. It's fun. We have streamers hanging from the ceiling now.
And on the floor.
And on the floor. Did I drop mine?
I did. Get a slide.
Put it back up here so you can all watch it slide down my side again. Kind of like talking to the kids during the children's message about the forest fire. Things have been cleared. The undergrowth is gone. And now there's this opportunity for new life and new forms of ministry to grow and develop. But on a side note, for me, it's also kind of weird because I'm realizing that this identity that I've kind of given myself, that I've kind of become comfortable with over the last few years, that identity is no longer valid. Now, it might seem like a small thing to you, and I get that. But the more I've thought about it, I've realized it isn't a small thing for me. It's a big change in my thinking. Letting myself let go of what I was originally doing and being open to what needs to be done now. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
I'm glad you said yes. Remember, the fastest way to get me to go forward is to nod. David is nodding emphatically right now. That reading that we had today, there were a couple things that really stood out to me in it. And I know it was long. But it was a couple of things, it was actually a couple of things near the end of the reading. Did you notice this story of this early Christian community? Did you notice where it said they were gathering? Those of you who were here on Thursday, you know where I'm going with this. They were gathering in the temple. Did you catch that? They would still do house meetings and they would break bread together and such, but that said specifically that they were gathering in the temple. That's the Jewish temple. That's not the early Christian temple. That's the Jewish temple. And they were still going back to it and gathering there. And did you notice what it said they did with all of their possessions? They sold them all. They sold off everything and shared everything together. It stood out to me because on the one hand, you had them holding on to this prior identity. You got to figure to the folks way back then, it had to be a little awkward when this group of Christians, whether or not they would call themselves that or yet can be debated, but when they would show up at the temple and then go off and do this crazy Jesus thing. You following me? That had to be a little awkward, that transition there. Because they were holding on to this old identity. They were holding on to what was comfortable. And yet at the same time, those actions of the people gathered together, selling off their stuff, holding it in common. You know, don't get me wrong, we're not going to go down some sort of big political economic thing, but I mean, that's communism. That's theoretical communism. It's not like what happens when you actually, you know, try to use it and people get all people-y and start taking things for themselves. But I mean, that's holding things in common and giving it to everyone in need. Everyone gets the same, gets enough. That's a radical new identity for them as a community, right? See, these two things in tension. You have them holding on to this old, embracing this new. It's this word that I've told you about a few times that I love. It's like my favorite seminary word. The word is liminal. Everybody say liminal.
Liminal.
There you go. Does that ring a bell? Someone remember me mentioning this before? Liminal is a threshold. It's a threshold. It's an in-between. It's a transition period. If I walk through that door right there, if I go towards Kathy. Hi, Kathy. There is this point at which I am neither in the sanctuary nor am I in that hallway. I'm in both. And yet I'm in neither. I'm not where I was. I'm not where I'm going. You understand? That's why I love that word, because it shows up all the time in our life. You know, we're constantly experiencing that kind of reality, that we're both and, that we're neither nor. We're here and we're there, but we're not in either. That's what they were experiencing in this early days of the church. They weren't the group they had used to be. They were no longer that group that would gather at the temple in the same way. And yet they were not the group they were becoming yet either. You follow? As you can probably guess, I see a lot of parallels with that with us. The last several years on Pentecost Sunday, we have asked people to come and speak to you a little bit about their experience of God at work, where they have seen the Spirit of God at work in their life. You remember that? Remember a few of those? We will do that again. It's not like something that's over and done. But one of the things that we have been doing with that is really looking at where God has worked in the past and where God is at work in the present. And this year, we're really looking at where God is at work in the future. What part of your identity as a Christian, as a member of Bethel Lutheran Church, as a child of God, what part of your identity is God asking you to let go of? Those early Christians gathering at the temple, they didn't keep doing that. Eventually, it reached a point where they realized that was no longer part of who they were, and that came to an end. What in your life is God asking you to let go of? And just as they began to hold things in common and develop this new way of being a community, what is God asking you to embrace? Because I promise you it's happening. It might be something relatively small, like for me, this whole redeveloper-developer thing. Rethinking what it means for me to be a pastoral leader. Actually, for me personally, that feels really big, but... But there's something, I promise you. For each and every one of us, there is something going on that God is calling to you to begin to let go of, and there is something that you have identified yourself with that God is telling you to begin to embrace. Like that church 2,000 years ago, we are on the cusp of something beautiful. God's Spirit is at work in and amongst and through each and every one of you. So I'm going to ask you to just take about 2 minutes to just think about it. Because if I ask you the question and I walk away from it, you won't. No offense. Because that's how we are. But please, just take about 2 minutes to ask yourself those two questions. What is God challenging me to let go of in my identity? And what is God challenging me to embrace? And at the end, we'll close with prayer. Thank you. prior to our vote and the decision to transition from the old space to a new one, which I feel obligated to remind you we did not knowing what that new space would be. It was probably the biggest leap of faith I have ever seen a congregation take. Prior to that, we engaged in house meetings and one-on-one conversations and all sorts of opportunities to talk about and pray about and discern where God was calling us. And that's going to be the story of this year, is opportunities for us to really do that and better understand what it means for us to gather as the people of Bethel here and now. Let us pray. We thank you, O good and gracious God, for the opportunities and challenges that you have placed before us. On this Pentecost Sunday, we call to you asking for your Spirit, calling for it to be known to us, asking you to bless us with your wisdom, and your strength, and your patience. Help us as we go forward from here, walking in your way, and trusting in your holy word. And in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen.